First of all, I want to tell you, I like it when you call me boss.
About boss man.
Who was calling me?
I don't like it.
You don't like it when he calls me boss?
You and I talked on the phone the other day, and I said, what's up, boss man?
It's more because it's literal. He is your boss, kind of, in a way, right?
One's boss. I'm barely my boss.
What'd you say?
I'm no one's boss. I'm barely my boss.
Oh, I thought you said I married my boss. I was like, hey.
It's a little something special we got to announce on the podcast. Got married over the last... What? No.
Oh, why would you just keep going with it? And see how long it took people that you know that say they don't listen to the podcast call you and go, did you get married?
That is an incredible impression of someone we all know.
Plenty of people.
No. Oh, McAfee. Yeah, McAfee calls me boss. That's who
McAfee calls
me boss.
You boss? Does he call you chief?
Calls me chief, fella. He likes fella.
Fella?
He wants to bring fella back. I don't know what that's about. But
fella back? Did it go away?
Evidently, fella. Hey, fella.
Hey, fella.
There might be a...
Do you think that... Do you guys
it
agree?
Sounds feminine.
He sounds incredibly condescending when he talks.
Who, Pat McAfee?
Yes.
Yeah, he can't help
it. On purpose. Yeah. No, in any way. No. But he is just like... He'll say something. Yeah, we'll have him back on. We'll say something and he'll...
I'm so glad you brought this up.
Oh, thank God.
He's mad at you.
Really?
You unfollowed him on Twitter.
Yeah, I did.
And he noticed it, and he's pissed.
Are you serious?
Yes. Why would I say it? I didn't know you unfollowed him on Twitter.
Did he? He said this to you last time he was in?
We're on the air.
And what did he say?
And I'm going, well, we're going to have Pat. No, thanks for listening, by the way. We're going to have Pat McAfee back on the podcast.
And because you're on early.
And McAfee goes, Nope, your co-host unfollowed me. And I'm like, what? That didn't happen.
Yes, it did. I'm sorry, Pat.
And Bob goes, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air.
Let's do this.
I miss Bob. Everybody knows that part. Hi, welcome back to the Off the Air podcast. I'm your host. I'm the leader, Chick.
The boss man.
Boss. Hey, boss.
I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying hey, boss.
Hey, ass.
We had this discussion earlier. We all know who the real leader is on the podcast. Hi, Jess. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Feeling good.
Good. Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for downloading the podcast. We appreciate it. That is Bob Schneider, our unofficial theme song.
Mm-hmm.
Big show today. Exciting. Something we've really sort of kind of never done. We've done sports, but we've never done Major League Baseball. But someone who's from Indianapolis, Indiana, technically Brownsburg, Indiana. The roots run deep over there in Brownsburg. It's Drew Storen, everybody. Hi, Drew.
Chick, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I was telling Jess driving in here that I have not seen Drew Storen. Now, how old are you?
I'm 26 now.
Holy shit. You guys talked about him like he was fucking 15 or something.
Okay. Let me tell this story by telling this story. This morning on Twitter, I got really excited about there's a Fresh Market opening in my neighborhood, and someone replied to my tweet, hey, way to go, antique hipster. So he could have said hipster. He could have said anything. He could have said ass bag. It didn't matter. But he said antique, which so...
I don't know if you guys know this, but Chick is very sensitive about his age.
To further enhance this, the last time I saw you...
Are you going to tell the little tyke story?
I officially saw you. You had a little tyke basketball.
Oh, God. He tells this story every time you come up.
It's not the house you guys live in now, or maybe it's like two houses ago. Or,
yeah. It was probably the first house in Geist. So,
yes.
Yeah,
first house in Geist. He's like two, maybe three.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Mary Bear. Mm-hmm. Me and Mary Bear are out on the with his dad and his mom, and he's shooting baskets.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going, hey, look at this. And in my face, and he's coming over and going, you can't shoot it. No, I'm making that part up. But
I was learning something about myself there.
That's exactly right. But yeah, we've known.
And you were hanging out with Drew's parents because
I worked with Drew's father for... Criminy, 20 years,
right?
25 years,
right?
Off and on, yeah.
Well, I was just for our listeners trying to get the connection, trying to get there so that they knew how you know Drew.
Well, you don't like me to set up too much on the podcast,
motherfucker.
So I gotta be careful what I talk about.
Okay,
Yeah, so...
Now, let's get this straight. You haven't seen him since he was like 3 years old.
3 years old. I've seen him on TV.
Well...
I've seen him on TV. I saw the...
He could probably say the same about you.
I was probably like nine, I would say.
Really?
Because I would come in with Dad when we lived on this side of town.
Oh, did you?
I was young, because I would come in... Toby would be in here some days,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, right. That's Bob's son, yeah.
And then we'd do random call-ins. I remember I was mini TC one day.
Oh, that's right.
I was on some, like, Bob Dole's pin thing.
That's okay. Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess I don't remember anything, but that... I don't remember much about the show when I'm on the air.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's normal or...
One of the things. Are you like that during your games?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're in the moment. Yeah,
because you're just locked in. You just kind of go with it, and then you can get done and have no idea who you just faced.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Wow.
All right.
So, Drew, when you were younger, do you remember who Chick McGee was?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the funny thing is, you know, I used to listen to the show all the time, mm-hmm. and then I'd come in here, and I was always pumped. I used to always love going out to the Motor Speedway.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was
cool. Always seeing the drivers.
That's a good time.
And mm-hmm. stuff like that. So, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uncle Chick, you know, really helped shape helped shape me as a kid, and that's where I am today.
He has no idea how his sense of humor has shaped. I mean, you and I have
right.
a distance in our age, but there's a little bit of us that our sense of humor came from him.
Mm-hmm.
A little
so.
Bit of it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I'm uncomfortable absolutely. Talking in this vein.
I think it's true. I think it's true. I think
well,
you
yours
made,
too, probably.
Oh,
right?
absolutely, mm-hmm. with me for sure. That it's, you know, that you made sarcasm and but you made it endearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you made being a little bit naughty and a little bit sarcastic and all these things, you made them endearing and you didn't seem like an asshole like
right.
some people who maybe sub for you sometimes and do it and sound like an asshole.
Yeah, that's true. I get that a lot.
And we're envious that he gets away with it. That's to me. He's
I've
able
always
to do
been,
all that and he gets away,
and
with,
he gets away
everything.
With it. Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but I've been told ever since I can remember, like third and fourth grade, I would smart off or say something mm-hmm. and I wouldn't get in mm-hmm. trouble nearly.
They'd probably just giggle and then they'd
yeah
you know, yeah
so I don't mm-hmm. it's a superpower.
It's a superpower. We all have one.
But I saw you too, Drew, on they did some sort of profile on, you know, Major League Baseball with a car you had redone or
oh yeah it
something
was,
like and it went the video went viral or some crazy thing.
Yeah, because it was, I think it was about me doing yoga, but then right at the end the girl doing it decided, hey, we need to show your car. Okay.
And
so people are like, oh, he drives a Batmobile, and that's really the main
thing.
That's
right, the Batmobile.
Yeah.
Do you still have that and everything?
Yeah, it's out in the Berg. It's at the parents' house right now. So
there's a guy on our side of town who has a Batmobile, too.
So how...
It's the concrete guy.
Is it?
Yeah.
How Batmobiled out is it? I mean, is it identical or?
Or no? It's a Nissan GTR, but it's just matte black.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so
okay.
People say it looks like the Batmobile because it has a lot of the same shapes that the Batmobile
does.
Oh,
did. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a real car.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
It doesn't have like the bat signal.
It's not
on
the
it.
Tumbler. I wish.
Okay.
Oh, the Tumbler.
Yeah. No. We always joked about in DC that we always wanted to just go full bat suit mm-hmm. before people started doing it.
Yeah,
viral,
now that it's
right.
Yeah, right.
Like,
now
everybody did it.
Yeah.
Now
but
everybody's
like,
doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll just pull up next to people and just stare at them.
That's funny. This guy does. This guy mm-hmm. has the full Batmobile in Newport.
The guy you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
The concrete guy?
Yeah, I think his name's Rocky.
Is it one of the new ones or is it an old one?
I think it's an old one.
Because isn't there a company in Indiana that it makes...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
That's possible.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Huh.
Drew, are you kind of a car guy anyway?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always been into cars. Always knew I'd never cut corners on that if I had the opportunity. So
that's good.
Yeah.
So you didn't just go GTR. You probably went GTR with all the extras kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's to the max. It's,
okay.
Yeah. It's.
I mean, doesn't the thing have like 500 horsepower or
yeah,
something?
It comes out stock at like 485. At
okay.
least my year did. And then now it's up to like 530. But
I
think mine's got close to 600.
Wow.
Here's what I know about cars. It comes out 45.
So
46, whatever it takes. Yeah.
So what he just said.
I don't know what he said.
Whatever his was stock and what he upgraded, that difference,
right.
My car doesn't even have the difference.
Doesn't even have. Okay.
Thank you for putting it in perspective.
The 120 or whatever that
the
he
115,
added.
Yeah. 120?
I don't even have that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah,
right,
I don't
right.
even have that.
Well, your dad, Mark, he early on, he saw that You have, but
that's the first time you've said who his dad is, and we have requests for his dad a lot to be a guest.
Yeah,
on
we've
the show.
Been doing that. We've had Jay Baker on, and Ace Cosby, and Don Stuck, and Mark Patrick,
and Christy Lee,
and Mark will certainly be a guest on the show. Absolutely,
yeah.
But I thought everybody kind of knew who his dad was. I didn't.
Well, not the people that aren't from Indiana, maybe.
No,
you know, I know
true.
We
maybe
all
not.
Know, but no. but yeah, it's yeah. So
this sort of all started for you when you guys were in high school, and Brownsburg went pretty far in the World Series, right?
Yeah. So in Little League, those guys all surrounding me went to the Little League World Series and really kind of made Brownsburg the baseball town. And
mm-hmm.
then
right.
In high school, when we were all playing together, me and Lance Lynn, who's on the Cardinals now, we went undefeated and won the state. And
it, oh, wow.
And so that was kind of what tipped off the Brownsburg baseball. And you know, for me back in the day, I was just trying to get, you know, maybe go walk on at Purdue and mm-hmm. kind of go from there and just kind of progressed and was able to
yeah,
get lucky and
wow.
move up a little bit. So,
That's awesome.
It was Stanford, right? Because
yep.
Ron Sexton
yeah.
told me, I don't know if he, you know, I know you probably don't know that he said this about you, but he he came back, we were talking about, and he's, I meant to tell you this, Ronnie's very excited. He, I'm going to see him this weekend, actually. He just got the dream job of his life.
Mm-hmm.
He is his son's high school baseball coach. He got the head high baseball coaching job in the Florida school that his son attends.
He's the skipper.
Did? Mm-hmm.
He's
That's
skipped.
Awesome.
He's beside himself.
Oh, my gosh.
And I haven't talked to him. I heard it like second or third hand, but I can't wait to...
Oh,
to
that's
see his
so
face
cool.
when he tells me
I'm
about
glad.
That. Yeah.
Good for him.
He's very excited about that. Next
that's
to
great.
Being Donnie Baker, that's his passion. You know,
right.
Baseball.
Baseball. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, they also did a profile when you were, I'm not sure how old you were, but did you guys know that Mark had built in the basement mm-hmm. the
yep.
pitching mound and the whole...
Oh, yeah.
In your basement?
Yeah, it was an indoor basketball court that Dad essentially, they had built out just concrete, and he did it all himself. And it's a half-court basketball court, and it has like a bullpen. And so I'm like 14 at the time, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
My voice is so high-pitched and squeaky. It's incredible. And I look like the biggest dork of all time. And, you know, Dad's showing off the basement, and I'm just down there like, yeah, I really like going down. playing catch with my dad. It's awful. It's great, though. I remember it.
Yep. That was on ESPN or something.
It was like, HGTV.
HGTV. That's right.
Mike Rowe was the host.
Yeah.
But he wasn't there, you know, totally.
Oh, right.
He did the voiceover later.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But what I was going to tell you, I just remembered, Ron Sexton came back and told me that, Donnie Baker, that he met you at Stanford. You showed him and his family and his sons mm-hmm. around and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he just came back. It's like, Drew is the nicest young man mm-hmm. I've met in a long time. He really rolled out the red carpet for us at Stanford.
Tell him I appreciate it. I actually sat next to him when I was going, I think I was going back from the All-Star break this year.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Right across the aisle from me.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
Got to talk a little baseball.
Yeah, I guess.
So you went from in high school hoping to maybe walk on at Purdue. Good choice, by the way, if you would have gone there. to getting an offer from Stanford and I assume many others.
Yeah. It was one of those things. So I remember going. I still have the sheet. I went to a Purdue camp right before my freshman year in high school. I was throwing 74 miles an hour, and I'm playing against older kids. I still pitch pretty well, but you know, I got my evaluation back. It's like below average. And you're like, man. But the guy was like, hey, I would love to see you play now next couple of years. I'm like, sweet. And then that next year, I grew and I started throwing harder, mm-hmm. and I played up a year, and I started getting some interest from college. And mm-hmm. you know, I finally hit 90, and like, it's like, oh, okay. And then it kind of just snowballed. And it, you know, my grades were really the big thing that helped, because mm-hmm. they figured with the good grades, I'm not going to go play pro ball. So I was kind of a good college fit.
Right.
And it's not like I'm a huge physical guy that like is just screams high ceiling prospect. So,
yeah.
Wow.
What is it? Because the only exposure I've ever been a part of is you go to the state fair and you try to throw as hard as you can at the radar gun. And I think it was 35, maybe.
It's 30. Pretty much the same thing. It's just that there's like, you got somebody that catches it and then they try to hit it too. But and then there's just a lot more people watching.
Yeah, right. But it's kind of like your car and the difference.
Sure.
Right.
My arm and his arm is a difference.
Right.
So when did you, this is a goofy question. I'm going to ask it anyway. How fast do you think you could throw? I mean, what's the fastest you've thrown?
I've hit 100 one time.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, like I do turn around. I look at the scoreboard to see how hard each pitch is. I remember turning around and just, that was always a career goal of mine. Like even if I don't ever do it again, just to do it once.
Yeah.
And I turned, it was against David Wright, and I turned around and I just
Oh my gosh.
You know, it was pretty exhilarating.
That's awesome.
I assume as a kid, getting to 90 was a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Right? I never thought I'd get to 90.
That's a huge milestone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right?
And then you just kind of keep creeping, and it's unreal.
Have you been there when Chapman's been? I mean, you guys played the Reds, but Chapman is just...
It's a whole nother level.
That's crazy.
I've never seen anything like... I mean, the ball comes out of Strasburg's hand a little bit different,
mm-hmm.
but just the power that Chapman has, and like you can't see it. Like from the side, it just... It looks like it's like computer graphics, like, you're just like and it's unreal. And the amazing thing is, he'll just go out and casually throw 95,
right?
And just that's sling. And then all of a sudden, if he starts struggling and gets mad, he'll pull out 103, and you're just like,
because
we had a guy in our bullpen that threw, you know, 101, 102, right-handed guy, and it was unreal to see. Like,
I can't imagine being the catcher. Yeah. I mean.
How about being the hitter?
Yeah, that's true. It sounded high. Yeah.
So, here, let me follow up your goofy quote with this silly one. Have you ever stood up in the batter's box just to see what a 100-mile-per-hour pitch looks like?
Yeah, I mean, I've been close enough. Like, especially when we're in the bullpen, we sit right by them, so you can kind of...
So when they're warming up. Right. Okay.
But not ever. Like, I've seen 95 with Sink up there before, and that was terrifying. I think I always tell people... You know, the two major league bats I've ever had, the most terrifying thing is not necessarily how hard it is or any of that. It's the fact that a man is throwing at you.
Right.
Because I went from the only guy that ever threw to me was my dad or a coach.
Yeah.
And
right.
It's nice and easy. And all of a sudden there's a man throwing 93.
Right.
And it's like, it felt like rookie of the year almost. When you know,
your dad was quite the softball player back in the day.
That's what I hear.
And I was absolutely a witness to that. And he was very good. I mean, the only game I played... I want to say first base, but I know that's not right. I must be a catcher or something. And he was in left field, and he threw somebody out at home plate, and it was pretty good. I mean, it was amazing.
He still has that glove, the world's largest, and has blood all over it still, from his last.
It is the world's largest glove, isn't it?
That thing is obscene.
You weren't here
I didn't. I never
We were in the media league for a little bit. We played like.
Are you serious? There's a media league.
Yeah, Channel 8, Channel 13, the radio stations, all that stuff.
Did Debbie Knox play?
I always think Debbie Knockers. I don't know why, but yeah, Debbie Knox. I don't think she didn't play when I were out out there. No. Who was that? Oh, you know who really, really played and took it way too seriously?
Wait, let me guess.
Yeah. It wasn't me. I don't take anything seriously.
Was it somebody from here?
Somebody on Channel 6.
Oh, Channel 6.
Sorensen?
Nope.
Bob Gregory.
Jack Reinhardt.
Oh, okay. He's still there, yeah.
The biggest competitor in the history of the world.
I don't even know who that is.
He's like their consumer reporter or the Rafael Sanchez.
He's been there forever. You would recognize him.
I would know him.
You
okay.
He's not an anchor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's not an anchor.
If someone would get some sort of an award for humanitarianism, if Reinhardt did the story, you would swear they'd just been indicted. It's that's the presence he...
Are you serious?
He's real hard-hitting. And that's the way he played, he played softball.
My brother saw Rafael Sanchez at a Hardee's
time.
Yeah, and he goes, I just wanted to go up to him and go, you're a narc. You're a fucking narc. Leave people alone. He's like, it makes me so mad.
People come to him, though. That's his job.
And I was like, what was Rafael Sanchez doing at Hardee's? Maybe you should have got the fuck out of there. Maybe it was dirty or something.
Maybe he was worried about it.
Yeah.
Hey, don't mess with my sourdough sandwiches, first of all.
Yeah, they are pretty good.
They're pretty
Frisco,
good. Hardee's, sourdoughs. So, Drew, which is it in Major League Baseball? Is it how hard you can throw or location or?
It's a combination of everything.
Yeah.
You get away with a lot more if you throw harder.
Yeah.
But the thing is, nowadays, too, so many guys throw hard that, I mean, unless you're throwing 100, 100's 100.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a whole nother level, but. You know, it's like 95 to 99 is a category, and then below 95, I would say, like, it's just, you got to be able to move it a little bit more, and it's the guys that are, you know, throw really hard, and it just goes all over the place that really scare guys.
Yeah.
In preparation for this interview, I use interview loosely, in preparation for this show, I watched a little bit of baseball, and I haven't watched Major League Baseball in a long time, not since my little brother played baseball, and that's all we watch.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Boston-Tampa Bay game the other day, and I didn't know this, but I assumed, like, when you pitch, on the TV, they show that little grid, and they're like this. If the ball is halfway outside, it's still considered a strike. I thought it had to be right in the middle of that one square.
It doesn't matter as long as they called a strike.
If they called a strike, okay, yes.
They call it a strike, it can be anywhere.
Okay, and that thing's not official. I mean, it's kind it's pretty close,
but like there's always different rumors about it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you hear that it's just somebody clicking.
Yeah.
And it's the funny thing about it, the strike zone's so variable. It's just like,
yeah.
Now, from umpire to umpire,
it's human error, I guess, if you know. But it's, I was like, is there a GPS on that ball? How did they do that?
They say it's like, I think it's a two camera setup.
Okay.
And then, because essentially, I think umpires get a score at the end of the game.
Okay.
And that's their evaluation. Oh. And so, you know, they're 96% or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
Have you ever argued? I can't see you arguing a ball or a strike, but I'm sure you've done it, right? No?
I mean, everybody at some point.
And some of your catcher will do it for you, right?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, hitters get away with it a lot more than pitchers do.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, hitters go up there and talk to them. You know, talk to the catcher,
right.
And then they can see a pitch, and they'll be like, hey, was it, I thought that was outside. No, it was right on the corner. Okay. But if we're out on the mound, it's not like you can ask the guy, because if you do something out there, you're really showing them up. So it's just a different dynamic between a hitter and a pitcher.
Because
a pitcher argues, you're...
Everybody sees it, and a batter can be up there arguing, and nobody's aware of it.
Yeah, because the batter can just look down and just say it.
You are really eating it today, Blue. Stuff like that.
Right.
I don't know.
No.
Is that a heckle in baseball? I guess it would be. Yeah,
I think it is. I might write that down and use it later.
Yeah, you are really eating it, Blue. and it looks like you're going, good afternoon, and they don't know.
I think you would automatically get thrown out of a game in the big leagues if you call umpire Blue.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Because you know them, and like you have the same guy, so you should know their name.
So you're really eating it.
Oh, it's
eating it, Larry. And
right.
Yeah. That's exactly. Okay.
Maybe that would be okay.
Maybe like tough day, Larry. You know. Keep your chin up, Larry.
Better luck next time, Larry.
Just don't say Blue.
Okay.
Have you ever charged the mound or anything?
No.
I've been charged?
No, I've been in the bullpen, like the guys that run out
right.
of the bullpen.
Yeah.
Which is like it is like the most fun thing ever.
Right.
It's completely pointless for us
right.
because we're coming 100 yards out
mm-hmm.
and then you just come up and just like yell at people.
Right.
And then it's just like we're just standing there. And then you end up just talking to one of the guys on the other team, you know, like, hey man, how you doing? Everything good?
Yeah, okay.
Checking
good.
Out.
What do you think's going on?
Yeah.
But so before you get up and run, do you look at the other guys and go, should we?
That's
we
like an
there?
Adrenaline rush. And then when I would get out to the field, I'd be like, oh God, somebody going to hit me.
No, it's crazy because it's rare to predict it. And so it just turns into just a, you know, mm-hmm. panic and run.
Right.
And then the best part is, you know, they have the serious latches on the gate getting out of the bullpen. We got log jammed last year against the Cubs. One of the rookies was up front and just is fumbling. And we're like all jammed up. We're like, come on, dude, let's go.
Open the gate, man. We're missing the.
That's hilarious.
Oh, that's
And so then we ended up going out, running out twice that inning. And so once we went out the first time, we had the security guard, hey, just stand by there. So, you know, that way we got open gate.
Right. Oh, is that because you knew it was coming? You're like,
we just knew that in case something else happened.
Okay.
Yeah, it was
crazy. Couldn't let that happen.
What's that dynamic like being, you know, I'm guessing the Cubs don't have a real far off bullpen,
right.
obviously. But most of them do. I mean,
yeah.
What's that like? You guys are out there kind of away from the team. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously you're supposed to because you could be called and you need to
right.
warm up, but... What kind of dynamic is that?
I mean,
that
it's like cabin fever down there. We just sit with the same guys for a hundred.
That's got to be such a mental part of your position on the team is to stay ready and like, mm-hmm. I don't know how many.
That's the hardest part. That's what I always say. The hardest part of being a reliever is until you get to the gate and get in the field. Once you go in the game, it's fine.
Right.
But it's sitting there and watching the game going, all right, score two runs here, I'm in the game. You know, you're just sitting there like...
Over and over again with every different scenario.
So then you end up just doing a routine where you do just the same thing every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then just assume you're going to pitch every day.
Right,
and
right.
The funny thing about bullpens, you're talking about, like, the worst part for us are the bullpens on the field, like at Wrigley.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so hard to warm up on the field.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the game's going on, and, you know, no matter how much you warm up, the first throw is never enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just like... But, you know, at least when you're down in the cage... put one off the wall. Who cares?
Right.
But
right.
when you're down on the field, you ice the pitcher, and it's so embarrassing. My first big league road trip was San Fran, San Diego, which at the time both had on field.
Okay.
I did all right in San Fran. San Diego, though, you actually throw towards the outfield wall, which is different than everywhere else.
Okay.
I put like four off the wall, and then they, of course, then they like bounced into fair territory. Oh, call time.
Oh no!
And then you're just going, oh no, man.
And all the Padres fans are, well, San Diego sports fans really probably didn't even notice.
No,
now
no,
that
no,
I think
no,
about
no.
it,
mm-hmm.
yeah, they're just I forgot soaking they up the sunshine. Mm-hmm. I forgot they had, I forgot about the Padres.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
So I'm sure you're watching the. You're watching the baseball playoffs like the rest of us. So, I mean, do you have like close friends?
Postseason.
Play the,
yeah.
What is that about?
Yeah.
I was so confused. I was like, postseason. I was like, what is this? Is this a new thing? Is this different? What is this? I was like, no, it's just the playoffs.
Yeah. Playoffs. Postseason playoffs.
It's branding. Yeah.
I love the, have you seen the
yeah, you could sell more stuff.
The one game wild card game? I love that. I love
that's great.
Okay,
the one
easy.
Game.
I watched half of a game the other night. I learned a lot, but I watched half of a game.
So who do we got? We got Dodgers and Cardinals, as we're talking about this. Dodgers, Cardinals, Red Sox waiting, Tigers or the A's.
Yeah.
So do you have, you can't say obviously who you're rooting for, but you got guys you're
yeah, I mean, I have friends on pretty much every team, but right. I mean, I think the scary team is the Dodgers right now. I mean, they've got so much talent, and they had their struggles early in the year, but everybody knew that if it ever clicked,
right,
it was going to be what it is.
So and, who's the, you can answer this as diplomatically as you want, but who's the best starting pitcher? Is it Scherzer or Kershaw or?
Kershaw. I mean, he's pretty.
It's just amazing, yeah. Right?
He's pretty impressive.
I mean, when it gets down to me, and I pay attention to Major League Baseball this time of year. I mean, to me, it's just it. You really have to love. There are so many games and so many players.
Okay, you know what? Just be honest with everybody. If it's not the Redskin season,
hey,
just filling time. I know he's watched games because of you, but there's that. But it all. Just be serious.
Okay, I know, but it's just. I like the playoffs. I like the World Series.
I love watching baseball.
The good old World
I
Series,
grew up with
right,
it.
Jason? Oh yeah, you're.
Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time at the baseball.
Did anybody ever put a radar gun on your brother?
Yeah.
Do you remember any numbers or anything?
No, I don't.
Because he was pretty good there for.
He was good. He was good.
Yeah.
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 Did he ever throw at you? Did he ever hit you with a baseball?
No, he always lost a baseball. That was because it was the closest thing, or he was outside pitching, and I would just, and he's pitching to my dad, and I'd say, hey, you suck, and then fucking wing one at me.
Big sister.
Yeah. So let's go back. You, was it Stanford for a couple, 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, I went there for 2 years.
And then you got drafted.
Yeah.
And then let's fast forward a little bit to when you went up to the big leagues, because I believe, according to what I read, you started off double A, moved up to triple A pretty quick.
Yeah.
And within a month or something,
can you
put those couple months into your
did you
into
just
your mind?
Just hit your stride? It seemed like all
yeah,
of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, you got to wait for things to happen because you know things have to happen with a big league team, and you know it was my first full season of professional baseball, so you know you just kind of get ready with spring training, you go hit the double A team, and then you move up, and you know Strasburg was kind of right behind me, so I was kind of to see the Strasburg circus, which was unbelievable,
crazy.
And it was very interesting. I mean, Triple A baseball is probably one of the most intriguing things in sports. I mean, the talent level, you know, is very, you know, it's not that the gap's not that much, but the gap in lifestyle is unbelievable.
Right.
And then
you get that call, and it's like the moment that you've always like hoped to have that call to the big leagues, and it's the big hallmark moment. And it was just like the weirdest feeling ever, because it was just panic, because I was like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I threw two pitches in an inning and got out of an inning. I walk in the dugout and the pitching coach told me right then, he goes, you got to go. I'm like, what? Okay. And so it was just like craziness. So you got to call everybody.
So you finished up in that game, walked down the stairs. Guy said, hey, you got called up. You got to go now.
Yeah, this is the fifth inning.
In the middle of the game.
You left that game and you headed to wherever
Saint
the
Louis,
Nationals were playing.
So I flew to St. Louis.
Were you in Syracuse, AAA?
Yeah, we were playing in Pawtucket, though.
Okay.
So we were in Rhode Island.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So when you said difference in lifestyle, had you been called up from AA to AAA, you would have driven to the next town.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's true. And now they're throwing you on a plane and saying.
Yeah. Well, at least when you get to AAA, you get to fly a little bit. It's those low A trips. Mm-hmm. Like my go-to move, I had a 9-hour bus ride one time. I went and bought an inflatable pool raft, and put it on the floor so I could sleep.
That's nice. That's good a good idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's wow. just it's amazing. We had the broken buses with no AC, so you know, you're on there with 25 guys, it gets pretty ripe. And it's like 105, it's a standard hot and humid.
Well, there's a documentary about Jordan when he played baseball there for a little while, and he I forget the name of the team, it was black and white though, their colors, the Bisons or whoever it was. Yeah. But he immediately raised everyone's lifestyle when he went to this minor league team.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, they started flying it. They got a really great bus all of a sudden and all these great planes. Yeah, I just couldn't imagine.
It's interesting. I mean, what makes it though. That's what makes the journey to get into the big leagues. And you don't, baseball is such a humbling sport. You think you're sweet and you go play pro ball and it's like, oh, this is what it is. And then...
Well, you hear that about football. I mean, it's okay. You're like the star on your team, and then you go to college, and you're one of maybe five or six stars on that team. Then you get to the NFL. Everybody on the squad, all 53, are like the fastest kids in your high school that you've ever seen, and the biggest and the fat and strongest. And and it's like I'm sure, Major League Baseball, it's the same way.
Did Jordan play AAA? Is that what he did?
Yeah, he went down.
Triple or double?
White Sox?
I know he got to double A at least because he was playing for, I can't remember who it is now.
I can't remember who it
did
is.
Did he fund all this stuff? Like the
kind of,
sort
of, yeah. I mean, they did make a big deal out of it, but Michael Jordan wasn't going to be on a 9-hour bus ride with no air conditioning.
Right.
Yeah.
That's like when you find out Snoop Dogg is your kid's coach, football coach. You ever seen that where he gets in the crazy bus and all kinds of stuff? Yeah.
Right.
So that short stint in AAA before you got called up, did you get to play here in Indy?
No.
You never got to play in Victory Field?
Nope. Okay. We stayed up there, which I kind of, I was kind of wish I would.
I know.
That would have been cool. That's a great state, Victory Field.
Yeah, it's amazing. And especially in talking to guys, I mean, the amount of great things that they have to say about playing here, it's because I have a lot of friends that have played for the Indians.
Right.
So.
Well, you were talking about the short gap between how good they are in the big leagues. I mean, and Pittsburgh's doing well with a bunch of former Indians. Right.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. I think AAA is changing because it used to just kind of be guys that were big leaguers kind of came down that. And they didn't send many prospects there, but now they're really using it to, kind of like a more competitive AA, which it should be, obviously. But,
so how many seasons have you been with the Nationals?
I got drafted in 2009, so this is going to be my third full year. So essentially been about 4 years, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
Man, I'd like to say I remembered this, but I didn't. I looked it up on our old friend, the computer here. Michael Jordan played for the Birmingham Barons.
There it is.
The Southern League, yeah.
And that's double A, right?
Yeah, it's double A.
Yeah.
A. White Sox, White Sox affiliate. And let's see here. Looks like one season, 127 games. What was Michael's batting average? 202.
One home run, is that right?
Three home runs.
Three, okay. I knew it wasn't many.
Three home runs. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Who did you root for growing up?
I was kind of all over the place. I was right at the heyday of Ken Griffey Jr., so I was a big Mariners fan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember that. Okay.
And then I became a Cardinals fan later when Scott Rolen went there.
Mm-hmm.
I was always just a big fan of players.
Right.
Chris Sabo was a
with the glasses.
Yeah, I was
Spuds,
him for Halloween.
Spuds, right?
Yeah, I was there. I was him for Halloween like six times. Just Reds uni, just slap the goggles on and trick or treat. How you doing?
Right. Have you met any of these guys now?
Some of them. I haven't met Chris Sabo.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's.
Where you've had that moment. You're like,
A lot. And then every time you just make them feel old. So you're like, I'm trying to compliment you,
Right. Yeah.
It's like, my bad.
That's funny.
But that's what I always think. The kids, especially now, the young guys coming in the NBA who've watched LeBron play, and then all of a sudden they're oh my God, I got to guard him. Mm-hmm. How do you do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've watched him.
Yeah, my feet would become concrete, I think.
Because I'm sitting here thinking, I know you, and I can't imagine you you're looking over maybe Tony La Russa was managing the Cardinals or whatever. Yeah. All these iconic baseball figures, you're just surrounded by them. And
it's so funny because the only time I really did that was when I faced Chipper.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, Chipper was a hero, and I was like, he got in the box, and it was at Turner Field. So you get the chop and his warm-up. It's just, place is going nuts, and I'm like, that's Chipper Jones. And then, but then you immediately go, I need to stop thinking this is cool because he'll take a yard without thinking about it.
Right.
So,
wow.
Man.
That's the way it is. I mean, it's like facing Pujols and stuff like that. Like, It's pretty funny. I mean, that's where you get tested.
Who was the first guy you pitched to? In St.
Pedro
Louis.
Feliz, I think, and he okay. popped out, and then I...
That means Merry Christmas, by the way, in yeah. Spanish, Pedro Feliz.
And then I hit Ryan Ludwig in the arm.
Okay. Second guy.
Yeah, I mean, he was not happy about it.
And so then, did you go, hey, sorry.
Oh, no, totally like... I mean, he's huge, so I was like, you know, like buffing up and flating.
Right.
And then I think I had like... first and second, whatever, and then Matt Holliday was up, and then I struck him out to end the inning.
That's right.
I was one pitch away from having to face Pujols with the bases loaded at Busch Stadium in my debut.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But like we were talking about earlier, I was so locked in
yeah.
that I didn't realize it until after. Which
right,
was probably
right, right. But, that's a good thing, yeah.
And it was one of those things, too, I struck him out, and you have all this adrenaline, there's just so many things going on, and you just like have to tell yourself, okay, walk off the field. Because you're just standing there like, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
Like, I haven't even thought this far.
Wow. Yeah,
speaking of the mental toughness, I mean, all you guys have to have extreme mental toughness, but how can you not overthink it when you're up, you know, okay, I just threw a fastball inside. Mm-hmm. The next pitch, you always got to think, you and the catcher are on some sort of wavelength, but how do you not overthink, well, I just threw that one, should I throw him this, should I do that? How do you know what to do the next pitch?
Yeah,
I know
it's a
stupid
question. No, it's not at all. It's a great question. I mean, that's part of it. It's such a chess game, especially mm-hmm. when you face a guy, like especially now, I've faced guys 8 or 9 times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not surprising them with anything. And those guys have video. You know, I can sit there, I have an iPad app that I can just click, and I have video of every time I face this guy. Like their lineup for the day is on there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so then a guy is in the dugout and sees that I'm coming in. Well, he goes down, there's a computer right below the dugout, and he does the same thing. So he knows exactly what I threw him the last time.
Wow.
So, like, I remember a home run I gave up to Dan Ugla. The one time before, I struck him out on a 2-2 slider. So I threw it again, and he hit it, like, 400 feet.
Oh, my God.
So it's like, yeah, it's unbelievable. And, like, people don't realize that. It's like, well, why don't you just throw a fastball there? Well, you know, there's just so many different things in the game situation. And
yeah.
Everybody's so good at that level, I just, it would be just I would be frozen with fear is what the term I'm I'm thinking there on the mound. I don't know.
I mean, to me, as a dummy over here, I'm thinking whatever the catcher tells me, all right, that's what
that's I what I did. Well, you know, I was lucky enough to throw to Pudge my first couple of years.
Yeah.
And so that's all I did. I just put my seatbelt on, just let him run the show. And it was awesome.
Is that not the most undervalued position in all of sports, catcher?
I would say relief pitchers.
No, I
don't know.
I guess from
no bias, completely straightforward.
I guess from fans' perspective, fans don't appreciate how much a catcher does for a baseball team. Is that fair to say?
No, that's very fair. I mean, especially, you know, that's why the good hitting catchers are, you know, such prime guys because they have to put so much work into, you know, scouting all the hitters, and because in the end it comes down to what they're calling. And you know, I mean, they sit back there for 9 innings, especially on those day games. I mean, you should see how much those guys sweat.
I can imagine.
Brutal.
Well, and all the it seems like all the great managers are catchers. I mean,
and they're and
Torrey
exactly right.
and Matheny and Socha and
it's because they got to run the game. I mean, that's
and
you see everything. And and you know, we always say that fielders don't understand pitchers, and pitchers don't understand fielders, and they're kind of like the liaison. I think.
Yeah, right. And they're. I heard some, I forget which commentator, but it really made sense when he said it, a sports commentator, he said, well, they're the only players on the field that are facing
everything.
Yep. So it just is inherent. They run the game, and then they just go right in and manage the game for them.
This is another completely unbiased thing. Every bullpen guy thinks that he'd be a great general manager because we watch so much baseball without having to participate.
Right.
And we're like, you know, we're just typical armchair quarterbacks down there just going, oh, we got to do this. You know, that's similar.
Now, you're getting a new – did Johnson – is he retired?
Yeah,
is that
Davey
right?
retired. So that was – pretty cool though to see. You know, I mean, he's put so much time in the game.
Oh gosh,
that guy's a legend. Yeah,
absolutely.
So we got, and so they're just trying to figure out who's going to be our next guy, and it's going to be interesting. Got some good options out there.
You're available?
No, I'm not available. I'm not for the baseball.
You locked up?
Do you think you could coach anything?
I used to coach Pee Wee football.
Be serious.
I sure did.
No, you didn't.
Like 4th and 5th graders. I sure did.
How old were you?
This was beautiful Piqua, Ohio, the Tri-Cities, Piqua, Troy, Covington. So it was, I'm going to say.
So you were that weird guy without the kid that coached?
82, 83. Why is that a weird guy? I'm going to say
just,
yes.
Yeah, but no, because it's just always dads. Like now,
no,
my son.
I had a daughter, but I mean, Jenny was like two or three at the time.
Oh,
but she wasn't.
That's
playing.
What I'm saying, though. You didn't have a kid on the team.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So if you don't have a kid on the team, you can't be the.
No, because where I'm from, all of the dads are coaches.
Right.
All of the dads.
Whether they're officially on the roster or
yes.
not.
All of the dads are coaches. Yes.
Well, they're passionate. Maybe that's what
it is. There's
to
something
say.
About that dad, father, coach situation. You
it's
know
tough.
What I mean? It's tough. It is tough. We just saw a friend the other day, my brother and I, and he goes, "Hey, do you remember that time that your dad, my brother was supposed to be ready for baseball practice as soon as my dad got home from work. My brother wasn't ready. My dad said, I'll see you at the fields. And left my brother there to ride his bicycle to the field when he was ready.
That's a good lesson.
So, but this other dad was on his way to the fields and he's like, "Hey, Chop, you need a ride?" And Chop's like, "Yeah," and throws his bicycle in the back of the truck and he gets there and he goes, and this other father goes up to my dad and says, "Hey, I hope you're not mad. I went ahead and gave Chop a ride. And he goes, I don't give a shit how he got here. He just had to get here." He's like, "I don't care. It's just that." Like,
so now your dad's mad at that guy.
No,
so.
He wasn't mad at that guy. But you probably know this, Drew. That there's. I mean, you do the same. Like my dad and my brother had the same routine every single day for 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean. Everything. It was just, and I can't imagine spending that much time with anybody. You know what I mean? I know that sounds bad.
Was it 10 years for you, Drew? I mean, and was it always baseball? Because
no,
your dad
was basketball.
I was going to say,
you're a basketball
dad.
Okay.
Brownsburg, he's a Brownsburg High School basketball legend.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
He could shoot the rock. He could still
I didn't know
shoot
that.
It. Yeah.
I remember a Channel 8 promo with him shooting a fadeaway or something and drilling it.
Gee, I wonder who came up with that.
I really wonder.
To shoot the ball.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, because I mean, it was his thing. He used to always go shoot around with the Pacers, and
right, yeah,
yep.
That was. I used to go with him when he would do the live shots at Market Square.
Yeah,
and go play horse with Reggie before the games, and that was
that's
cool.
Awesome.
That's unbelievable. Yeah.
Wait, and that's one of those things, though. At the time, I had no idea.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like,
it was just Reggie.
It's
Reggie.
Reggie.
It was Reggie.
And then now you sit there and realize.
Holy
shit. Yeah. Reggie.
That
like,
was
Reggie.
Reggie
Miller.
Yeah. Reggie Miller Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
that's crazy.
So what, if I may get to a sensitive subject here, at what age do you recall a time when you told your dad, "Hey, Dad, I got it"?
26.
It took 20, that long?
Yeah.
No, it's no. I mean, your father is one of these
very
passionate dads.
And he knows
more about sports than.
It'd be much easier to be like, "Hey, I'm good, Dad." If he knew nothing.
Right.
Sure.
You know, if he was the little league coach that is just telling
yes,
all the kids
right.
awful things,
right.
it's like he knows what he's talking about. So, and he knows me better than anybody when it comes to that. And obviously, he's watched me more than anybody else.
Yeah.
So, it's a good balance to have, though, because, I mean, he kept me comfortably uncomfortable a lot with that.
Right,
every time I thought I was feeling pretty good about myself, that changed after talking to Dad, because it was like, 3 for 4. What'd you do that last at bat? Yeah, what happened there? Which is great, because it shaped me into being never satisfied, and I love that. So
mentally,
it gave you that mental edge.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to have it one way or another. So
that's the thing about dads in that situation. I mean, they're your biggest critic, but they're your biggest fan.
It's a fine line, and that's the thing. Once you realize it's
it's a delicate balance between you're driving me crazy to really you're really helping me, and it speaks to you as far as you can. You have found a way to process that and be beneficial to you.
And I helped. I think it helped too that I played multiple sports.
Right.
And so it's not like Dad's just hammering me on baseball all day.
Right.
You know, that's the tough part. Especially now you got kids playing like 90 games a year.
Yeah.
It's like, man,
that's
were
insane.
You at Brownsburg obviously, but were you on a travel team other than that?
Yeah. So once I played Little League until I was 12, and then 13 to 18 was a travel team, and you know, you did the road trips and all that.
And you still manage to take tests in school and get
You just do it during the summer, so it's just you just get worn out during the summer, and then on the fall you play on the weekends and stuff. And
162 games a year in the big, that's a lot, isn't it? I mean, even you don't pitch every game.
No. And like
that's mentally tough to do.
I mean,
that.
The thing is, though, for us, even if we don't pitch, you mentally have to gear up to pitch. So,
sure.
You know, and that's the tough part. I mean, that's the grind of it. And, 162 games, that's what makes baseball baseball because mm-hmm. of that, you know, and I think that's why we get along with hockey players pretty well because they, you know, they're like, wow, we play a lot of games and it's, they do a lot more than we do, but you know, like,
yeah.
It's really? A grind. Hockey plays a lot?
And, well, as far as conditioning.
Yeah, with the skating and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they beat the crap out of each other, that
well,
part,
well, there's
too.
That.
That's awesome. Yeah. That is one thing. I'm sorry, but that is one thing.
Checked into the...
Like, mm-hmm. I went to a game, it's not like I was hitting up many ice games when I was growing up, but, mm-hmm. You know, I got to D.C., I started going to Caps games.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, that was unbelievable.
It's another level.
What's his name, Ovechkin? Or,
yeah.
Yeah, that guy's unbelievable.
Wow. And I mean, the fights, that was pretty awesome.
Good old-time hockey.
Yeah.
They scare me.
Hockey fights?
Oh, yeah. Look at me. Those guys have,
you know, though there's a,
they are so tough.
One of my friends is a big time hockey. He played hockey and now he's a big hockey fan. And he
played hockey.
He's a little bit of nothing.
Brian played hockey.
Dorf played hockey.
No
sure
way.
Did. He sure as hell did. You know, we should get him on the show.
He'd be a great guest. Doesn't he own a hockey team or something?
Yes, and he's going to kill me because I can't remember the damn team.
He's not going to kill you because you haven't talked to him in like 5 years.
He texted me the 27th of September because I had plans to go to Nashville and stuff fell through and didn't end up going. Yeah, well, I was going to go down there and watch some comedy. And
really?
Yeah. We have a guest.
Good story.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Drew, you're 26, so you're right, and you had to grow up with video games.
Oh, yeah.
Are you on any of the MLB games?
Yeah.
Have you played yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, of course.
How cool is that? I mean, honestly.
It's
how
great.
How cool is you're in a video game?
Right. That's one of my favorite things. I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm not going to hold back because
I can remember you when you were a kid. And Drew, let me tell you, you would not, I don't know whose idea it was, but you would always go to these not brand new video game stores, but you would like get second hand
the resell
and those video
GameStop.
Games.
I mean, yeah,
recycle you just, those.
Oh yeah, yeah, switch them out.
Oh yeah.
Got to.
Yeah.
Just trying to, you know, you got to give and take. You can't just be flipping the bill for all the new games all
sure,
the time.
Sure.
No,
that's one of the coolest things. Like somebody must really like me on one of the games because I remember playing it and I was still in like 98. Like, I mean, just not realistic, but it is realistic because, you know, it's like, yeah, shut it down. Gets tired quick, you know.
Okay.
Just, hey, you know, not more than two innings or one inning,
that's
you know.
Let's,
but that's, for me, that was the coolest thing. We laugh about it, too, because one of my teammates definitely has a mullet in there.
Okay.
Because he had, like, the long hair and just, oh. And then they do it, too, you know, first spring training, they do the face scan. And to, you know, make it as realistic as possible.
Wow.
So there's a booth at your spring training, and you guys go in, and they scan your face for the video games coming up later that year.
Yeah.
Now, does that include, because you've had facial hair in the past, you don't today really, but do you know going in, all right, I want my video game guy to have a
beard? No, because it was my first spring training, so you don't really plan, where some guys like... Our shortstop planned ahead this year and just had a disgusting mustache. and so that was his picture in every stadium.
Nice.
Yes.
So it's awesome. Yeah. And
you
don't really plan ahead too much for it.
Okay.
And
okay.
Like this year I had shoulder length hair probably for all my baseball pictures and stuff like that. So my Topps card, I guess from like last year is actually from the year before picture because I tried to get on like a fielder and have a bat. And they caught it apparently right before they printed the card, so that was tough. But I was really wanting one where I'm just, you know, lumbered up, just ready to go.
Lumbered up is what they say in the big leagues, Jason.
Did you collect baseball cards?
Oh yeah, I still have them.
You still have all yours?
Yeah, a lot of them in the box, still haven't opened them.
Oh wow.
Whoa. Well, that's
awesome.
Investment.
Yeah.
Wow. Hmm. So you're on the mound and you're pitching to a batter and something goes wrong and the guy trots out there, whether it's the pitching coach or the manager. So what is he?
Well, you never want to see the manager. The manager never talks to you because
he's
just taking the ball, and it's usually just a, you know, awkward something like this. Because everybody's just like, I don't want to be on the field right now. This is not good. This is a long walk.
Yeah.
You know, you never know whether to walk or jog.
But
when the pitching coach comes out,
yeah,
that usually gets interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So you have leeway to like. Try to convince him to leave you in the game.
Well, the pitching coach, it's out of your control.
Yeah, okay.
Pitching coach is just going out there to just try to you know, keep you, just keep you not from panicking.
Right.
Just get you to settle down. Don't be so pissed.
Right.
You know,
right.
Kind of just, you know, throw strikes. It's very straightforward. A lot of times that's just a delay to give the bullpen ready, time to get ready. It's not like he's coming out there like, hey, shooter, you're, you know, you need to do this with your glove and, you know, all these like really inspirational things. He's just out there just going, okay. And then you just stand there and wait for the umpire to come. Mm-hmm. Umpire comes up and ready? Okay. And then you're just out there going, oh, this is not going well.
It's not even strategy of, hey, he doesn't like him inside.
Because we already know. You know.
You know all that already.
Right. And it's usually, if anything, he'll just be like, don't give in. You know, okay. don't just give him a beach ball down the middle.
Right.
When did it start with the with putting the gloves over the mouth? I mean, did you guys wise up and go?
Talking?
A lot of people can read your guys' lips when you're talking. But I've noticed that it's pretty prevalent
I noticed,
now.
Too, that this postseason, some of the pitching coaches are covering their with their hands.
Yeah.
So I think they just need to start bringing their own glove. I think that would be much better.
Right? Okay. They've got the uniform on.
Or just tie a bandana around your face, and you look like, you know, that's what you should do. It'd be like a cowboy.
Yeah, I mean,
a cowboy.
The thing is about it, like, I don't know, I get it, but I don't get it. I mean, you could sit there because you go through signs and tell a catcher, hey, what signs you're going to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess if somebody's watching it in the clubhouse, which more than likely somebody is, they see me go, hey, I'm going to use the second sign. They can run out and say, he's using the second sign, by the way. Or he said, oh, he is going to try to pitch him inside here or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So is there like sign stealing? Is that rampant in the league? Or, really?
Yeah.
And do they have somebody with? How do you?
Well, it's
because
it's usually
Bill
just within
Belichick
players
of Major League Baseball.
Question. It's not as much that because that's a. I mean, it's more of like if a guy's on second base, sometimes they'll relay the sign. So you always have to use different sequence signs out there.
Okay.
But the tough part about it is you can rarely, if ever, notice what a guy's doing.
Yeah.
Because if anything, you know,
he's just standing there,
and if, you know, maybe he's got his left arm's lower. Or,
and that's a sign to somebody.
That's telling the hitter, hey, you still want
to
break you. I mean, that's why when you come set, you try to, you know, they'll look at your grip in the glove too and get it from there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
You guys ever had one of those like a league of their own moments where everybody's like doing something different?
it happens all the time.
Yeah.
I'm just glad we got a league of their own mentioned when Drew was here.
Yeah.
Do you like that movie? You watch that movie?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good movie.
You referenced Rookie of the Year, and that was Funky Butt Lovin'. We said that for 2 years after that. That was the best word we'd ever heard. Oh, loved it.
Because I know you're a big football kid movie. You know what I'm trying to say? Like Little Giants and those football
movies. Oh, I love Little
movies.
Giants, yeah.
I didn't know. Oh, well, you love The Sandlot, too.
I
That's
love
right.
The Sandlot. Every kid, if you don't love The Sandlot, fuck you.
That's one of your favorite movies.
Oh, of all time. It should be every... I mean, you had to have watched it. We're not that far apart in age.
I was my go-to baseball movie was Major League.
Major League, yes.
Because
I
mean, it's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the best. I can watch that straight through.
Willie Mays Hayes.
Do you know how many? Do you know how many bets I've won telling people that's the All-State guy that is?
Joe Serrano.
And they're like, no, it's not. I was like, look it up right now. It is. Yes.
Jobu sells car insurance.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Do you watch what's the
Eastbound and Down?
Yeah. I watched the first season after.
First season was good.
You know, I'm with you on that.
I was there.
It was too good the first season. Uh-huh. And it's not I mean, you can't really have a deep plot off that. I mean, you know what you're going to do.
Right.
But that was pretty funny, too. I mean,
they obviously did a marathon before the season started this year. And I watched it and I was like, I don't even know. I'm almost speechless. Like, I don't even know what to say after this.
Yeah. It's almost too.
It was weird.
I mean, I like to cuss. Let's put it that way. But gee, many Christmas.
Yeah.
Huh? How about that a little bit? Once or twice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how it is.
Not to harp on the you getting called up. It's a great feel good moment, I think. Did you, a couple things. Do you remember the phone call you made to your dad?
I can't remember what I said. But I think he knew because I was calling him in the middle of the game.
Okay.
Right.
Sure.
And it was kind of what I was saying. But
there was some buildup. Maybe you both might be.
Oh, you know what? Oh, I knew. My agent called him before I even did.
Oh,
yeah, that guy.
That's what it was. I forgot. Yeah, my agent called him. So we already knew. So, like, dad didn't know whether to act surprised. Like, just, you know, so it was kind of like.
Right.
And then he just kind of goes, like, yeah, I know. Yeah, oh yeah, I know. Like, he just didn't know to whether to be like, oh, that's great, and act like he didn't
right.
know.
Oh,
yeah.
He was probably happy just to finally get the excitement out of him.
Yeah, exactly.
So did they, you get to your first game, I mean, they get you your jersey. I mean, is there all these official things you get at the time?
Yeah, what do you get? You get a hat? I mean, I have a hat.
Yeah.
You can't go on the field without a hat.
Yeah, so by the time you get there, you have your just game bag from Syracuse, but when you go in the locker room, it was already hung up. So there's a standard set of, you know, you get the dry fits, you get the shorts, you get sliders, and they've got it all lined up.
So why number 22?
Well, I just kind of fell into it. So my rookie year was 58, and then I switched that after that year. I decided to go with 25, and I never wore that jersey because we signed Adam LaRoche. And so he ended up taking 25. But the funny thing is they sold jerseys that were 25. So they're like random throwback unis that I never wore.
Out there, 25 says Storn on them.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then then 22 was open. I was like, sounds good.
Okay.
It was kind of like I liked Mark Pryor, you know, and 45 was taken because I was going to do it because of Bob Gibson, but.
Mm. Okay.
And then decided just to go with 22.
Bob Gibson, kind of a badass. Yeah. So on this, who do you think's, so we got the Cardinals and the Dodgers and the Red Sox and the Tigers and the A's. Who do you think's going to come out of that? I mean, do you have like a professional opinion?
I mean, if the Dodgers keep playing the way they're supposed to, I mean, there's no way. I mean,
there's no way. They're just so.
Their talent level is unbelievable.
So is Mattingly, well, I don't know. Are you probably, I mean, you can be diplomatic about this. Is he that good a manager? Is he just surrounded by talent and he just lucked out?
It doesn't matter. I mean, everybody's talented in the big leagues.
Okay.
If you're able to make that, he made that team click.
Mm-hmm.
That's not easy to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you have that many stars on a team. You got big time personalities on that team. Mm-hmm. And to make them mesh and play for the right reason. I mean, that's what managing is all about. Managing is not always about, like, you know, knowing everything about baseball. It's just about managing people, managing personalities. And, you know, for him to be able to do that, that's really impressive.
See, this is what I think I'd be great at, is getting people together and bringing out the best in them. Don't you think I'd be really good? You're looking at me like I'm speaking Portuguese. Maybe maybe that's...
I would love to see you actually have to manage or give direction.
What are you saying? You would really like to see me have to work for a living as
something I'm not naturally good at? Is that what you're saying? That's not what I'm saying.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, can you imagine him, like, when you told me once that you were a program director, and I was like, no way.
I was a program director.
It wasn't the program director like you would know here, though.
Like Marty?
Yeah.
No, I was in charge of scheduling, and I was...
I can't imagine. That just blows my mind.
Okay, Todd, you're in Mondays and Wednesdays.
I had to fire a guy. I worried about it for... 3 days
Why'd
before.
Why'd you have to fire him?
He was chronically late and really didn't.
So you must have not worked here because that doesn't matter. Late here, no.
No, this was somewhere else.
Piqua?
Springfield.
Springfield.
Springfield, Ohio.
Springfield, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Did you get fired? Did somebody worry about firing you for 3 days?
No, I quit.
You quit?
What did I do?
You came here. No.
Yeah, I came here. I got this job after Springfield. Yeah. What am I thinking? Is that my career? Yeah.
So you haven't been in a managerial position in 30 years.
That would have been...
25
What did I come? 85. Yeah, so what is that? 15, 29 years. Okay.
Okay, sorry.
So your last job interview was 29 years ago.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's exactly right. And the job I interviewed for here, I didn't...
Get.
I didn't get. I got another job.
Another job.
The different AM
job.
Station.
I got the AM station down the hall.
Really?
Yeah.
And did you have to interview for this job?
Bob and Tom Show?
Yeah.
It's kind of...
Well, a gentleman by the name of Mark Patrick was doing sports for the Bob and Tom Show, and he left to work in Raleigh at WRDU, I believe.
Oh.
Oh, wow. I was when I was 6 months old, so that's like... that was 87?
87.
Wow.
And he came in and told me, look, do you know I do an impression of your father?
I want to hear it.
He comes in, he goes, look, they're thinking about...
Is that even accurate?
It's pretty close.
Pretty close.
They're thinking about getting a guy in here to do sports, and I think you'd do a great job. So why don't you go in there and tell him you can do sports?
Are you serious?
Yeah, no, I've told this story before. Maybe I haven't on the podcast.
No.
So how it goes is Mark went to Raleigh and did mornings. He wasn't a sports guy anymore. He was just doing mornings. And Marty, our good buddy Marty Bender, who mm-hmm. will be on the podcast one day. Mm-hmm. So help me, whatever God you believe in. Marty comes in and goes, look, well, he stared at me for 10 minutes first. And he goes, look.
That's the big interview with mm-hmm. with Marty, is if you feel that silence that yeah. he leaves at the
He
beginning.
Always ended up laughing at me. I don't know why, but anyway. He goes, look, Mark Patrick's going to Raleigh, and we need a guy to come in and do sports for a couple weeks. I don't know how it's going to work, but if you want to try, you can. Because at the time, remember, I got fired by the WNDE mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and because of syndicated programming. And I was just doing commercials for Q95 and the Bob and Tom right. show and stuff like that. And then I started doing bits for the morning show. Yeah. And Tom and I were kind of friends because he had a golden retriever named Elvis. And I loved Elvis. Mm-hmm. I like Tom. And then I started, as far as I'm concerned, it's still on the temporary. No one ever came in and said, okay, you've got the
You're
job.
Permanent. You're permanent. So
I yeah, that's mine and Marty's joke. It's like,
I'm still waiting to see how this goes.
I don't know about next week. We'll let you know.
Are you still day-to-day basis?
I'm still on a still day-to-day basis. You don't know how true that might become. But anyway, that's the story, yeah.
Do you have any jobs in high school?
I was an umpire.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
That's right.
Was it baseball?
Yeah, okay. Babe Ruth. So
yeah.
I'm like,
oh, yeah.
But it's like 13, 14-year-olds. I'm mm-hmm. 17, 18 at the time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the amount of... You got coaches. I mean, because at least in Little League, coaches get it. But then, like, you go to the Babe Ruth, you got the bigger uh-huh. fields. There's Bach, you know, there's all these things. So, I mean, I'd call Bach one time. Kid was in a full windup and threw a pick off to third because the kid was stealing. Like, he's just the most, he balked like six times.
Mm. Yeah.
And I had the coach coming out, you gotta be kidding me, you know, and just like all over me. Like, I don't know anything about baseball. And I'm right. just like,
yeah, they couldn't pay you enough money.
Oh, I loved it. I
know, but
great.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good because there's kids out there. There are times like when we've played Little League, these kids, like you said, like you're doing 14, 15-year-olds and you're 17, 18. And then over here on, you know, the 3-4 diamonds, they've got 12-year-olds yeah. doing it. And it's just, and there are parents that are jumping down this kid's throat. Mm-hmm. I'm like, where is your parent? You need to have someone watching over you. Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible.
See, by the time they got to playing in this Babe Ruth League, the parents were over it. So yeah. it worked out so much better that way.
That's good. Well, I guess at that point, like you said, with Babe Ruth, at that point, you've got kids who are going to play high school ball. You know what I mean? It's not Little League where we're all playing and we're all getting a trophy.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a little bit different, but it was entertaining.
Oh, you say Babe Ruth and it just brings back so many good memories. Yeah,
she was
so
a diamond, what, the diamond rat? What are they? You were there
all
the time?
Yeah, I kind of was. Just because of, it's, you know, because my brother, but there was will you be Brian's girlfriend? I'm like, yeah. Lots of breakups and relationships started for me over at the Babe Ruth Diamond.
That sounds like a reality show.
Diamond Rats?
Diamond Rats, yeah.
Oh my gosh, one time my dad told me to bring the car around and I put the car in reverse, didn't realize he had four buckets of balls behind our Suburban, and I got all four buckets of balls lodged underneath our Suburban. And there were baseballs everywhere. Baseballs everywhere. Oh, it was bad.
So when you decided that... what made you decide baseball? I mean, over basketball, I guess.
Well, I realized I wasn't going to be 6'10".
But you could shoot, I'm
guessing. Oh, yeah, but yeah. I mean...
Yeah,
I started throwing hard, and I was like, probably gonna go with baseball, and seemed a little bit more of an obtainable dream, I think.
So what was the routine with you and your dad? After school, or
yeah,
in the
so
morning,
he
or?
Would come back from Channel 8,
mm-hmm.
You know, just hair sprayed up, got the tie on... It was, you know, locked in TV mode. And then so we eat dinner, and then he just roll the sleeves up, play catch, go down, shoot around, and then just kind of hung out. And then he'd take it back to the station.
Yeah, he had to come home in between because he had 6 o'clock news and then 11, right?
Yeah.
So in between there, yeah.
There was one point, and at that time he was doing mornings on the Bob and Tom show with us.
Oh, God.
And he was, mm-hmm. one of the funny things he said one time is like, my sleeping has to be pretty precise.
Yeah.
Because it was like six, he'd do the 6, he'd do the 11 o'clock newscast, go home, be here with us, it's 6 a.m., go home, I don't know, but he had something else he was doing.
Well, once a week he'd do the lottery show, which would be at 11, so that was on Fridays.
Oh my God.
And then he would go to the TV station about 3, mm-hmm. and then get back. I mean,
I think he slept like 5 hours a night, but sometimes it was like 4 hours and 45 minutes or whatever, but he had to, as soon as his head hit the pillow, he had to... He had to go
it was
to sleep.
This is funny, and I don't even know if I've ever told anybody this, that I give your dad credit for introducing me to comedy, and I don't even think that he would realize it, but, or I don't know, maybe there's other kids that feel this way, but I watched The Lottery Show with my old aunt, and that, because that was her thing, she watched The Lottery. I watched The Lottery Show with her because Mark Patrick was a comedian. He was. I watched that show because
he was never sarcastic on that.
Exactly. No. That's another thing. Like, I don't know if that's how we were brought up, like with Chick and for me, with Chick and Mark. And I was like, this is what is funny.
What number would you like? And for what reason? What are you thinking? Are you thinking?
Oh, my God. And I was
asleep?
Just like, why is no one else laughing? This is fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it was just. Yeah, oh God! Yeah. I really do. I between you and Mark, I really think that that's what made.
I didn't know where you were going with that, but you're dead on.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I liked it. I always liked it because it went right over the contestant's head.
Oh absolutely!
It did not catch anything.
You don't want to stereotype here, but there was a demographic if you were on the lottery. On the, you know, I'm just.
I'll get my scratchers now. Watch it. I play the Powerball every now and then.
Yeah.
It was pretty entertaining. I always liked going to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you get to go with him ever to the taping and do that thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I used to enjoy doing that. I used to go, my favorite thing was going to Wish TV, though, and messing with the green screen.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, I bet. That's yeah. That's awesome.
They have the green screen at the major league parks.
They do?
Yeah. The advertisements behind behind the catcher.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Those are only on ESPN and Fox games now.
Oh, really?
Because the team, at least for us, the team sells out those ads for every other game. But then when you're on the national market, ESPN is the one selling those ads.
So it trumps. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Huh.
It's all about, it's a profit deal.
It is a profit deal.
I think it might be a profit deal. Yeah.
I have a couple burning questions. The necklaces that you guys
wear. Oh, yeah, like the zebra.
They're real heavy, aren't they?
No, they're not bad.
They're not that heavy?
No, essentially they come in and give them to us at the beginning of the year. Okay. And it's a superstition thing. I mean, you just find one and wear it all year. I had one that I think I wore for 2 years. It was pretty ripe, so I had to retire that.
Do you think baseball is the most superstitious of all the sports?
It has to be.
It's got to be. It's like us in hockey. You're pretty similar. And it comes down to having so many games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you're doing the same thing every day, you just find little ways to just think that it has an effect. Like, I'm going to put my left sock on first today, get a couple hits. You're like, yeah, that's definitely wise because left sock went on first.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
But that's how, I mean... You call it routine, call it superstition. I mean, it's...
Or Reggie used to wear 2 cents underneath his wristband or something.
Did he really?
Because his dad once told him, you're not worth 2 cents.
Are you serious?
And that kind of reminded him of, So obviously it was worth a little bit more than that. But I mean, it motivated him, right?
Wow,
so,
yeah, I guess.
I mean, I shower in the same shower every day. In the stadium, I always go to the same one. Mm-hmm. And then
if you wake up in a different apartment, I thought that's where you're going with that. So I'm glad that you're talking about the stadium.
Never mind. I don't know what I'm bringing Holla back. I'm going to tell you.
Yeah. Oh, fella and Holla.
Because I'm a Holla back guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, stop.
How old is that?
Do you know that's a Nelly song?
Huh?
Holla back. Holla back is that? Song?
I thought that was.
Both.
Ain't no Holla back girl. Ain't no.
Yeah. Who's the?
That's the blonde girl.
Gwen Stefani.
Oh yeah,
Gwen Stefani. Right.
But there is a Nelly song, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Right.
I told you this. Did you know that Honey Nut Cheerios has taken Nelly's "Must Be the Money"?
Yeah.
Ride with me. And it's Honey Nut Cheerios, and it's, oh, must be the honey.
Yeah.
No way.
I'm not kidding. Yeah. And it's great. And the bees dancing.
Yeah, between Honey Nut commercials and him rapping in country songs. God bless, Nelly. Get past it.
Poor Nelly. What do you got playing in the Batmobile?
What's that?
What sort of music you got playing in the Batmobile?
I'm kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. Country. I'm just classic rock, though.
Okay.
That's my main thing.
Yeah? Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I live most of the time, and then mix it up every once in a while.
Yeah. So to bring it full circle from the beginning, what do you think about the new Batman that they announced a few months
ago? That's tough.
Yeah.
That's way tough.
Yeah.
I'm going to really miss Christian Bale just grunting everything.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know why he chose that, but...
That is odd. That's odd.
Should we promo Bat Dad on Vine again? Oh.
No, we've got a lot of responses.
Probably that. Yeah.
There's have you guys looked up Black Bat Dad?
No.
Okay. Do that.
Really?
Do that.
All right. Okay.
Oh gosh.
What's your off season? What do you I'm sure you I know Tyson was in here with us on the Bob and Tom show a couple months ago, and he's we asked him does he work out? And he goes, oh, no, I don't really work out anymore. It's like three or 4 hours in the morning I lift, and then I run like, you know, 10 or 12 miles mm-hmm. at night. I'm not really working out much anymore.
No, yeah, I'm definitely not doing that. The first couple of weeks, the off season, you just kind of hang out. I mean, you really just get settled in.
Stay off your feet.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I golf quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
That's my thing. Okay. Trying to get that in while I can. And one of my teammates is having a charity golf tournament in November, so I'm really just tuning up for that because
you
need to be locked in for that. But, you know, then once probably in the month you start working out again, you really get about 3 weeks of off season. That's about it.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
And then you just start firing it back up.
And deep down, if you extended your season into the World Series, you don't want any off season.
Right.
I mean,
that's tough. I mean, like even last year being extended like that, it was tough because you got to just decompress and build it back up. But it's weird. It's the off season's a weird time because you just all of a sudden go from not having a life ever to like just head in the sand, and then all of a sudden you're just living your life and that's it.
Yeah.
And then you start, you know, stressing out like, I need to go to the clubhouse. I need to go do something.
Yeah.
Like, no, right. I'm not.
No. So do you don't probably don't throw that much at all off season?
No, I'm going to throw more this off season, I think. I mean, it just depends every year. You kind of change it up and try to figure out what works best in resting and throwing.
And every now and then you'll put your right sock on first. And
yeah.
Maybe,
yeah. No, that never happens. That's never allowed.
Well, does your dad still catch for you?
No.
Get his big clown glove out.
No, he used to give this guy a hard time at the facility we worked out at. His son was in high school, and the guy would be full geared up, right?
Right.
Dad's like, I will never be there, you know.
You know what he'd say? He'd go, here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Here's Is the that thing. Really something that he says? That's really, because you always do that.
Here's the thing.
Chicks make it sound like dad's got some conspiracy, and he's talking like Peyton Manning out of the side of his mouth. I mean, it's like unbelievable.
I'll hear about it.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be like, was it a pretty good impression, do you think, or no?
That's right.
Was it decent?
Was it okay? What do you think? Is he all right? Did he?
Oh, that's hilarious.
But you were saying your dad, the whole geared up thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So he just is like, I'll never get there. And then I think it was when I got to college, I played catch with him once. And he's like, I'm not doing this anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know how anybody hits it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Once he got there. But, he hung in there for a while.
Yeah.
But after a while, it's just dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That happened with my dad and my brother. It was before a high school game. And somehow my dad had to jump in there and catch for my brother for a second. And he had sandals on and shorts and whatever. And he just leans out. Yeah. He just gets down and my brother throws one and it hits the dirt and then it ripped his big toenail off. Oh. Off. And it was just like,
off.
And my dad's like, he just dropped the mitt. Like, it was like, I'm out. Yeah, it was, it was bad. Oof. That was the last time he caught for my brother.
Washington National, Major League Baseball mm-hmm. player, all around swell guy. And my nephew, Drew Storm, has been our guest. Thank you, Drew.
Thank you, Chick. It was fun.
All right. Yeah, we'll have your dad on here in a little bit. All right.
Oh, nice.
You tell him I said hi.
Here is rebuttal.
We'll have Dueling Patrick's. Okay.
You're in so much trouble.
What are you talking about? Am I really? Oh, no. It'll be all right. Thank you, Jess.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jason.
Hey, this was great. Loved it.
Pretty cool, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for downloading the podcast. We'll talk to you next time.
Good night, everybody.